It's Friday, August 14th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast. This show is sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a product of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey, everyone, I got a great show for you, and I got lots to cover tonight. Going to be talking about Apple Tablet, going to be talking about some cool gadgets, social media topics, security info you need to know for your operating systems, whether it's Mac or Windows. I got some cool resources for programmers out there. I'm going to be talking in depth about some broadband concerns that are out there with dealing with the FCC, and I got some bold accusations to talk about John C. Dvorak, plus a lot more. I have one heck of a show for you. You know what to do. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from this beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central Studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey, I want to welcome everyone on the show. My name is Todd Cochran. Make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, I want to welcome all of our new listeners to the show. This is show number 502. And we're on our march to show number 1,000. It's funny to say that after taking how many years to get to 500? 5 years. But, of course, I want to welcome the Ohana, those of you that have stayed subscribed for all these many, many years. And thanks for being part of our family here. Of course, the new listeners, you are joining the Ohana, the family of listeners of the Geek News Central Podcast. Of course, I want to welcome the listeners from 155 countries across the world. Thank you for tuning into the show. It's my pleasure to have you with us. As you can tell, I am feeling much better. After I finished the last show, I felt horrible. I really, really did. But pretty quickly, I got recovered. I've had a great week. It's been catch-up week here because I really didn't get a lot done during the weekend. So busy, lots of stuff going on. And right now, I got a house full of kids. My lovely wife is out with a girlfriend of hers, and they went to a birthday party at a French restaurant. So she's excited about that. They're all in there watching videos, and I've had one stick their head in here a couple of times, and I forgot to lock the studio door. So we'll see if we get some kid action for those of you that are on Ustream. Of course, got a number of you on Ustream. I want to welcome you to the Geek News Central Podcast as well. Thanks for coming and joining us at this very late hour, wherever you may be throughout the world. And of course, it depends on when you're listening to this show. Hey, you know what? You're subscribed to the show because you can listen to it at any time. And, make sure you get over to Geek News Central, subscribe to the show via iTunes, the Zune Marketplace, whatever it may be, the way you download the show, get it into that portable media player so that you can have it with you and you can listen to it at your convenience. Lots of great applications out there for the iPhone, for the for the BlackBerry and so forth. And let us know how you're subscribed to the show, how you're getting the show delivered automatically to you these days, because I know a very large percentage of you are, and I know, of course, a number of you listen on the web as well, and we want to welcome you no matter how you listen to the show. Okay, yesterday I spent some time, remember on the last show I was asking about pan and tilt camera, and I actually found a device that you can actually mount a webcam to. Got one of those coming. I'll talk about that. That's from a company called eBenz, E-B-E-N-Z. And it's a pretty little slick device. We'll be using that here at the desk. But I also ordered two new cameras from Sony. They're called PTZ cameras. I believe I bought the EID... I bought one EID 100 and one EID 70 along with a remote control unit. So I'll be able to really move the cameras and pan them as I need to. Those will be here on Friday. So we're getting some upgrades. What I'm going to be doing is the camera that those of you on your Ustream that are in this view right now, I am going to be updating that camera. And then the camera that is over here on the side, it's going to go into a new location. And this one here is going to get updated as well. We're going to replace those two and give some new views and essentially have a better, as far as I'm concerned, will be a better production suite here for the live video, which is starting to gain more traction. But lots of stuff going on. I want to congratulate Joey Ozaki. He is a winner of the He's the winner of the iPod Touch that I had donated to the Podcast Madness campaign. I know that we had two or three listeners from Geek News Central that are part of this family that won some prizes. I think Joey actually is a regular subscriber to the Caffeination podcast. And but it doesn't matter, if Joey, if you listen to the show, congratulations. But we'll be sending, you had actually asked for a gift certificate to equal value at the Apple Store, so I'll be hooking you up with that. And then, of course, we've taken the time capsule entries for 2 or 3 weeks now, or we'll be taking them for 2 or 3 weeks, and then we'll be putting together an official time capsule, and we'll be putting it on the counter here, and then at show 1,000 or 5 years, we'll open up the time capsule and give away some prizes then, as well as we've got the Dymo dual tuber printer here that we're going to be giving away to one of the people that submitted a time capsule entry. Those have started to roll in, so make sure you get those into us so that I can put your guesses in the time capsule. In 5 years, we can open them up. So flood me with those ideas. What is podcasting going to be in the next 5 years? Geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, if you have comments on tonight's show, +1 619 342 7365. All right, we've got a new promotion. Actually, it's a contest. And what the prize is one of those new, beautiful, sleek Zune HD media players. Have you seen these things? You've seen the reviews on them? Oh, ho, 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 nice. This is a $200-plus value. And what we're going to do is I am looking for a permanent replacement to the Geek News Central intro. The Geek News Central intro that's on there now has been with us for about 300 shows. It's time for change. It's time for a new intro. The person that comes up with the best intro, the one that I adopt for the show, and we're going to run this contest until I find the intro that I want for this show. So if you can be creative and blow it out of the knock it out of the ballpark the first week and win it, or we'll run this thing for a month. However long it takes, we're getting a new intro. And I'll keep up, I'll up the ante as we go. But we're going to start off right now with a Zune HD. You know, I could pay a professional to do this. Yes, I could. But instead, I want you, the audience, part of the family here. This is how we got the first intro. And we'll play that intro from time to time. But we're going to look for a new intro for the show to carry us for the next couple hundred shows. And so do you want to be the one? Zune HD for the taking. Get creative. Knock it out of the ballpark. Make it big. And if you want to add a bonus, if you really want to make it big, I need a video intro, intro too. Oh, yes, I do. All right. Hey, Todd 20, that'll save you 20% on 1 year shared hosting accounts over at GoDaddy.com. You really help the show when you pick up shared hosting accounts at GoDaddy.com using that Todd 20 code. If you know a friend that's getting ready to get a hosting account, tell them to use Todd 20. Todd 20 saves you 20%. The code Todd will save you 10% on non-domain purchases. Geek 5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more over at my good friends at GoDaddy.com. Thanks for GoDaddy for being a continued sponsor here. I don't have to tell you anymore. You know that I love this company. You know that they're a great supporter of the show. Thank you for your support. Hey, I have to tell you about an experience I had this morning. It's related to online conferencing systems. I'd gotten this call yesterday from a guy in India who's been trying to, you know, basically sales pitch me for a while to do an iPhone app. And, you know, my team at Raw Voice has had some iPhone apps in mind. We've been thinking about some things. And it's okay. I got some time. It's 6 a.m. Honolulu time. Because really, my schedule was full today. And I said, I'll be in the office at 6 a.m. I'll be ready. You call me. Let's get this going. So I'll send you an invite to an online meeting thing. We can, you know, basically you go in that and that's where we'll be. Oh, okay, cool. So I think I'm getting a GoToMeeting invite, right? No. I get an invite for a major competitor's product. This ought to be interesting. So this morning I get on, 5:58, 5:57, I press the invite button and it starts loading and it loads and it loads. And then it says this thing will take about 5 minutes or so. And I had to click two or three things to get permission for some Java. And I'm thinking, what is this thing doing taking over my computer? And finally it loads and it comes up and I'm in the thing by myself. And my phone rings at about, first of all, the guys were late. Phone rings about 5 or 10 minutes after 6, and I'm waiting in the conferencing session, and I'm like, what are you guys doing? You know, I've been waiting. I told you I had limited time. You know, your meeting started 10 minutes ago. The experience was horrible. Horrible, because I could barely hear these guys on the phone. I said, well, why don't we go on voice IP on the application? Oh, sir, it doesn't have voice IP. You can't do, you know, you can't put on your, you know, you can't use this. We can call you on Skype. I'm like, give me a break. So, folks, GoToMeeting works. One click, starts up, you're in the meeting. Within, really, it's less than a minute to get up and running. You can put your headset on, enable the microphone on there, and you're talking with the host. It's that simple. It works again and again and again. I told those guys this morning, you guys should get GoToMeeting. You can get a free trial. GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast for a free trial. GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast for a free 30-day trial. We appreciate your support. GoToMeeting, great sponsor, great product. It works. It really, really does. These guys in India, they'd have done a better pitch if they got an airplane and come seen me instead of try to pitch me with this junk software that they were using. And I say that quite literally. And, you know, I'm not saying that to pitch the product. I'm just saying it was junk. The experience was horrible. And it was amazing. It's the first time I ever had really that type of exposure to that program. I was like, wow. So anyway, that's all we got. Let's get into the regular content. I got a great lineup of stuff. And here we go. One thing I want to talk about right off the very get-go was last night I was working on a domain that I've had in my family for a long, long time. Matter of fact, it's CochranFamily.net. And it's something I've really kind of had abandoned. I hadn't done anything with the website since about May of 2005. There used to be a lot of photos on it, and it had really went into a state of disrepair. A lot of the links were broken, and it was actually my wife said, "Honey, I was over there, and the thing looks horrible. Either take it down or fix it." And so I decided, okay, I'll go ahead and fix it. So I pulled all the static HTML files off. I uploaded WordPress, and then I went looking for a template for the website. I am always more than willing to pay for WordPress templates that I could find, but I wanted something that would depict Hawaii and the ocean scene, and, you know, something. And I looked and I looked and I looked and I looked, and I couldn't find any on any of the pay sites that I really liked. So I went over to this other website that I found through a Google search, and it was actually like the third search result in the list when I did the search for WordPress templates. And I was absolutely stunned. I found this great template. I mean, it was really, really nice. And it was free. And I thought, I would have paid for this. And there was like 800 different templates on this site. It was actually, and I don't want you to go to this website because I'm going to tell you why here in a second. It was at WordPressThemesBase.com. So as I'm, you know, looking through, and I downloaded this thing, I installed it, it looked good. And I scrolled to the bottom of the page, and I saw this in this like light gray on top of blue. You could barely see it. At the very bottom of the template, it said, powered by laptops, email addresses, online pharmacy, with links to websites that I would never, ever put in my blog, anywhere, anytime. Even if someone was write me a big fat check, I just wouldn't do it because Google's going to see that, and it's an index killer. They just Google say, oh, you know, he's got links in here, link to a, you know, someone's got a link farm. You know, they're going to give you knock your Google rank down. You're not going to be found in the search results real well. Now, not that that site was, because it'd been offline for a long time. So I was pretty incensed to find that, but I guess I wasn't surprised. So I went into the footer of the template, and I pulled it up, and they had actually used some very light PHP encryption. It basically, it's not even encryption. It kind of encodes it so you can't see the actual HTML code. And so they tried to hide their work. Now, if I removed that footer information, it just jacked the entire template up. So I zipped that up. I sent it over to Angelo, and I said, Angelo, look at this. And he sent me back a new footer file. I said, hey, put this in there. That'll fix it. And it did. So actually what Angelo is going to be doing now is he's going to be going through all of the PHP code in that template to look and see if there's any other funny business going on. But he said the author of that went to great lengths to make it very difficult for, a.k.a. the average person, to remove those links at the very bottom of the website. And here's the sad thing. I don't know how much money they're making on those three domain names, but the template was nice enough that I probably would have paid $100 for it. Easy. You know, maybe more. The templates were nice enough to pay for. And, you know, it tells me one thing. It tells me that there is one heck of a lot of money in driving traffic towards these bogus sites like this that it just, I, you know, I was kind of flabbergasted. I really was. So be very careful when you're out there and picking up a WordPress theme, because you could end up with a theme that has code embedded in it that's basically a link scam. Now, I actually looked at the source code of the template to actually look through, loaded the page up, then I view source, and I went through that to see if there was anything else in there that would give this away, but nothing really, but was only at the very, very bottom of the page. And I think to myself, how many people have downloaded those templates, installed them, and really never looked at the very bottom of their site? So free? Yeah, it was free. Yeah, free advertising for these three websites. So, and I am going to be switching. The actual theme that we fixed is actually on the website, but I'm not going to. I've got to just go out and find a different template and get it replaced, and we won't be running that particular template on that page. Even though as much as I like it, because of the usage rights, basically saying change the template in any way, or you void your license and so forth. So I'm going to pull it down and get something else up there. But you know, you may get a free template, but you know, you're going to be pretty disappointed when your page rank goes down. That's for sure. Okay, the site was WordPressThemesBase.com. I got asked in the chat here on Ustream. All right, let's go ahead and move on to the next article. Blog Maverick, the Mark Cuban website, he's got an article up, said the most patriotic thing you can do. And I won't really read the title of it, but he essentially says go out and work hard and, you know, become wealthy. And is that really the most patriotic thing you can do, is to go out and be wealthy and pay a lot of taxes? And I don't know if I agree with Mark's. You know, it's great to be productive. It's great to have money, but it's not everything. He says, I don't care what anyone says, being rich is a good thing. You know, I don't necessarily agree with that. I know a lot of people that are rich that they're the biggest snobs in the whole world. Now, there are other people that are rich that keep their attitude in check. But largely, people that are quote-unquote rich are really, you know, kind of uppity. And I'm not talking about job rich. You know, I'm talking about cash rich. You weigh millions and millions of dollars in the bank. Generally, they don't hang out with, you know, the average Joe, the guy that's out there working, doing his 40 hours a week and taking care of his family and working a second job on the side. I'm sorry. You know, I pay my taxes. With the earnings that I earn, my family eats, has shelter. So, you know, Mark, you know, shame on you. You know, come on. It's okay, it would be cool to be rich. But would it change things? Probably. But it's not the most important thing in my life. That I can tell you. There's, you know, You know, there are many, many people who are not wealthy, who are very patriotic, who serve their country, that don't have very much money. And those people are very patriotic. Moving on here to an Engadget article. If you're, and I don't know where someone got the idea for this, but have you ever been to a drinking establishment and have been served, you know, you've ordered your, you know, maybe top shelf or medium shelf or, you know, there's different. If you can order from the well when you're a bar and you get a certain type of drink, you can order from the, you know, from the back shelf and you get a certain type, or you can go top shelf and pay a lot of money. Well, some folks have built a sensor. It's called Rot Gut Onyx. It's a little box. It's a little sensor that you stick in your drink after you get it, and you can tell if you've got the actual drink that you or the particular alcohol that you ordered. You ever got a drink that said that just doesn't taste quite right? Well, I guess people that are paranoid would want to order one of these. And quite honestly, I don't think they're going to sell very many of these. But if nothing else, it's something that you could. I don't want to dip this in different drinks in a bar. That would just be, ew. But they're going to sell them, but cool little gadget. All right, book scanning gets 1,000 pages per second in turbo mode. In Ishikawa Koromura Lab at Tokyo University, they demonstrated a prototype scanner capable of recording contents of page as they turn using a laser range projector to estimate page geometry. Pretty cool. It's, you know, it's a work in concept here, but basically they hold a book up, you know, they open it up, and then they just, you know, they flip the pages, and this thing is capable of scanning 1,000 pages per second. So that's amazing. It really, really is. How they're going to get something to turn that the pages that quick automatically, I don't know, but they say really what the end goal here is to make scanning of, you know, basically when final print gets done for a magazine, and when they're running the press, it goes through and it scans and looks for defects and different kinds of things like that. But kind of interesting. And if you've got millions and millions of paper goods or page, you know, a lot of records, this would be a good way to archive stuff as well. But I don't see very many companies needing the throughput of 1,000 pages per second being scanned. I'd like to see the computer that would be able to handle that. All right, Apple might be planning a keynote, and I think this has been all over the web today. Apple may be planning a keynote for the week of September 7th, and they may have new products to offer. Now, why would they do a keynote if they weren't going to introduce some new products? You know, Apple just doesn't have these press events to, you know, to roll out nothing. They roll something out. Now, you know, they may be ready to roll out their newest version of OS X. They may be thinking about bringing the Apple tablet that's been so rumored to the marketplace. And we've got some cool links to some articles later in the show that show potential mock-ups and actually maybe even a rogue picture of the so-called tablet. And we've got some direct information on what may be coming. We talked a little bit about this on the last show. I haven't heard much feedback from all of you on what you think about maybe Verizon being the carrier for this new tablet. But we'll see what happens. I'm sure this will be a developing story. We'll be talking about it more as we go on. I was able to pick up, believe it or not, on the CompUSA website. Yes, I actually bought something from CompUSA. I'm gonna hold it up here to the camera. Let's see, which one am I at? Flip the camera here. So I bought some SATA 1.5 Seagate 1.5 Seagate drives, 7200 RPM. They're Barracudas, and the reason I bought these, and I bought three of them, was that I got a announcement. It was basically an email announcement from CompUSA, basically saying the drives were on sale for $87. And $87 for a 1.5 eSATA drive. And I was like, you had got to be kidding me. Now, I've needed some more hard drives to update storage here. And so I ended up buying three of them. But now I'm looking at some prices out there. I wish I'd have bought a couple of more. But there's some cool products out there right now that can actually you can use with some drives. Brando's got a new HDD dock that works out pretty cool. You set it on your desktop and put two drives into it. And it has a multi-card reader as well. But you can put an eSATA extension kit in the package, and then it basically you can add storage to your computer. You can use them as an external drive. Comes in a pretty slick little package. The thing I think is cool about these drives and in this kind of setup is that I'm getting to the point now where storage off-site is just as important as having, you know, having backups, my backups off-site on a more often basis being updated. Well, does that make any sense? Currently, as you all know, I keep a couple of hard drives in a safety deposit box, and I rotate them out once a month. Matter of fact, I did a rotation this morning, or actually this afternoon, when I was at my bank, and actually it had been a little longer than a couple of months. And, you know, I've been a little bit lazy on that. Now, I've been sending some stuff down here to my drive that I've got for my, you know, all my Windows systems backup. But really, I'm getting a little more anxious about data backup, just because I've got so much. And really, if I try to put it all of it on Amazon S3, very, very expensive, because I'm now talking about terabytes of data that I want backed up, videos, pictures, you name it. The amount of storage I'm creating is huge. I take, my wife's got the HD camera, the little mini cam. She's shooting all the time, shooting a lot of video, and all that stuff I'm having to process and save. And it's just, you know, this mountain of data continues to grow. So I think what I'm going to start doing now is these 1.5 terabyte drives, I'm just going to start filling them. And at $80 a piece, maybe 3, 4, 5, 6 months to fill one and pull the thing out, date it, and then, you know, put it someplace safe where it can be, you know, or off-site storage. And that way it'll be, you know, I'll have a good backup. But the thing is, if you want access to all this stuff, you have to have double, right? Double storage. So what is everybody doing? What are you guys doing with all your growing storage needs? Are you guys running into an impact on where you're going to put all stuff? Are you just starting to throw stuff away? Are you putting your videos on DVDs and saying, forget it, you're not storing the actual soft copy of the media? What are you doing? But for $63, this could be a good option for running eSATA drives. I'll have the link up in the show notes. But I just kind of want to know what everyone's doing right now with that. But basically, I'm going to end up having multiple drives, I think, in my safety deposit box. Some people keep money in their safety deposit box. I'm going to be keeping hard drives. And, you know, when you're dealing with this volume, it's okay to have pictures and stuff stored on Amazon S3. But when I need to send up, a 1 or 2 gig video file every couple of weeks, it's a lot. It really, really is. And it will get expensive, even at the low storage costs that Amazon charges. Quick video sharing application now available for iPhone 3GS. And I didn't see this yet, but I saw this tonight over on Gizmodo. And it looks like that you can now load this, basically take videos with this and pictures. And then you can email, what does it say here? It says you can share video using email, SMS, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook, among others. There's no live streaming, but you can record it and then push it. So I think this is pretty cool. This is a good option. Obviously, Apple did not allow them to have the streaming service going, which I wish we could have all had, because that was really where the power was at in the original Quick application, QIK.com. So I'll be downloading this. I'll give you guys a more updated review on it as I play with it over the next couple of days. Good news for those of us that need more upstream speed. ISPs are boosting upstream speeds at a very slow pace. But, there's a good article over on GigaOm that talks about this. And what he's saying is the only way that we are going to force the internet service providers to provide us more upstream bandwidth is if everyone really has services that they can use that the normal folks that are not doing stuff like I am, like, you know, pushing a stream out on Ustream tonight, folks that are sending more videos up into the cloud, you know, wherever they're sending their media, as people start pushing more and more media, doing these interactive types of things, it causes you to use a lot of upstream bandwidth, is the only thing that's going to drive the internet service providers to start adding more upstream bandwidth. And I think it really made sense. I've complained for a long, long time. How come the internet service providers haven't done this? Well, I think he hit it on the – or Stacey Higginbotham, who was the contributor to this, I think she hit it on the head when she says, hey, they're not – they're hearing a few of us complain about upstream, but the majority of us are – being very quiet about it and not demanding more upstream bandwidth speeds. So, you know, this audience is huge. You know, we've got 130K plus listeners to the show on a biweekly basis. You know, if each one of you picked up the telephone and called your internet service provider and said, hey, I really would like to have more upstream speed. And if they say, we don't have it, say, when are we going to get it? They may surprise you and say, oh, yeah, we've got it. You can pay some more. Well, then you can kind of check out the price and see if it's worth it. But, you know, if people start calling their internet service providers and complaining about upstream being too slow, that's what's really going to cause them to consider, you know, putting in more upstream bandwidth. At the same time, they're going to have to see it physically on the network. If the network's not being tasked, then that could be an issue as well. And I think probably what's happening in my neighborhood, what I've noticed is, and probably to the detriment of my neighbors, even though I have a business class account, is that I push a lot, and the speed has increased in this neighborhood quite a little bit since I've moved into the neighborhood. And I'm just wondering if Oceanic, which is Time Warner here, has responded by saying, okay, that joker down there at the end of the street, you know, he's pushing 500 kilobits per second on a near consistent basis. We're going to have to more add to the rest of the community so they don't suffer. And in the end, it really causes the speeds to go up for everyone. So I don't know. We'll see if operators are going to invest in upstream capacity or not over time, but I think all of us have to push them to do so. Okay, next up is another article on 4G. We're going to talk about 4G wireless. And we've seen some articles already coming out from Portland and different areas that are starting to see rollouts of 4G, Boston, on what they're actually seeing on speed as compared to, you know, our normal cable connections that we may have, or DSL. And what everyone's thinking is that while 4G is going to be a pretty good jump for most of us when we're looking at wireless connectivity, it's still not going to replace basic cable. And really, all I want 4G to get to, I want to get to a level, really here in Hawaii, we're expecting it before Christmas, and I'm really excited about 4G coming to Hawaii by Clear, is that I'm hoping the upstream speed will be enough to support streaming video. And if it does, then I think we'll be really at a point where there will be some competition with the cable companies. If that upstream does not, at least for me, support streaming video at the rate that I want to send it at, or what I do right now via my cable modem, then I think it's not going to have a lot of effectiveness for me, at least. I will definitely sign up for it and see what we're going to get as a secondary connection and get rid of my regular Clearwire connection I have right now that really is limited to about 1.5 megs down and about, if I'm lucky, 100K up. So we'll see what happens when the actual Clear 4G comes in. Any of you using 4G yet? If you are, I'd love to see some some speed tests with 4G. If you are in Boston area, or if you are in Portland, or any of the other cities that have got it rolled out, do some speed tests for us. Show us how your bandwidth is moving. Hey, over on Scoble's website, he's got an article on here. How can anyone follow 10,000 or more? And he goes into his basically his strategy of what he was doing when he was following over 10,000 people on Twitter and different services. And as you may or may not know, basically Robert unfollowed everyone. And then he went and refollowed those people that he actually knew, people that he had met, contacts, people that he valued at a, you know, on a personal relationship level, their commentary. And he's now following about 1,900 people. And I've noticed even, because what I tried to do with my Twitter account was, okay, you follow me, I'll follow you. But some people, and I've recently have been unfollowing on a regular basis those people that are, you know, sending me direct messages that have, you know, absolutely nothing to do with any type of, you know, trying to send me a game or playing this activity. You know, that's automatic unfollow to me. It's unproductive type of messaging. And so I've little by little been unfollowing, but I just don't know if I could unfollow everyone because I get a lot of value out of what's in my Twitter feed. And obviously I don't see it all, but if you're following a lot of people, then you know, you may want to follow some of the strategies that Scoble is using or had used when he was following as many as 10,000 folks. Hey, here's something new over on securitybananas.com, and I have forgot all about this site. This site, I believe, has been online for a long time, or if not, it was replaced, or it's a knockoff of another website. But at securitybananas.com, there's an article about using Twitter as a botnet. There was a Twitter account that was actually being used to control a botnet of computers. You could see the commands he was sending to the botnet right in the Twitter account. Now, I'm sure Twitter's probably going to shut that Twitter account down, and probably people will have to continue to look for that, but or the new one that'll probably pop up. But that was the first incident of anyone finding a you know, Twitter being used to run a hacker, you know, network of computers. Right over on VentureBeat, they've reviewed a website called Hacker Dojo. This is a website where hackers come together, not hackers, where coders come together. They can work on projects. They can talk about programming issues they have. It's about $100 a year to have a it's a $100 membership for every month. Wow! Oh no! I got it. Here's what they've done. I misread this initially. They signed a lease on a 4,400. I thought they had 4,400 users. The group had signed a lease on a 4,400 square foot building in Mountain View, which is in Silicon Valley. People using the center pays $100 a month to access it, and then the coders all can combine in the building and work together on different projects. This is smart. It really, really is. I guess if you live in Silicon Valley, it's a great way to connect and work on projects with different programmers out there and work on different types of projects. So this is kind of a cool deal. At least if you live in the Silicon Valley or live in the Mountain View area and have access to this or you know want to participate and use this facility. It doesn't talk anything about essentially what type of bandwidth or you know what they're making available there, but kind of a cool little Hacker Dojo. Makes sense. Okay, that doesn't sound like an online website. Sounds like you go to the dojo to practice karate. Instead, you go to the Hacker Dojo to practice coding and work on projects. So this is a smart thing, and I think this would be good if you're looking for new business in different areas. This may be a way to provide a central located base to bring in some cool people to do some cool stuff. You can replicate this idea across different communities in the United States, that's for sure. All right, over at Geeks and Poke, geekandpoke.typepad.com. I don't normally link up to a cartoon within the Geekness Central podcast notes, but there's a pretty cool one here. I'm going to just share it with you. It's got two faces pointing at each other. It says, hey, and it's basically campaign related. And this is was actually put online a couple of days ago, so I thought it would have made more sense during the election time frame. But it says, hey, in this campaign, I will publish all my pre-election promises on Twitter. Then the next frame is the two people looking at each other, and they're saying nothing. And the last frame says, because no one will be able to find them next year. And the other person says, yep. You know, that's the problem with Twitter right now, is you can only search the last 1,000 tweets on a particular topic. I know that the folks at Twitter have hired a search specialist, somebody that has come from Yahoo. So maybe with time that is going to change, but it's definitely a shortcoming of Twitter. You can't get very deep in any of the search results. And, for now, it's just keyword-based. You can't do any advanced searches. You can't, list it by certain people and so forth. So if search on Twitter gets better, I think that'll take Twitter to the next level. All right, there's a pretty good article over on smashingmagazine.com talking about how to create your first iPhone app. Obviously, if you're looking to do this, this is a pretty good starter point. I have this link up in the show notes for you. Got another article here by Dave Weiner talking about seeing superiority. And he talks about people that ignore, basically, in the space, he feels that there's a lot of people who feel they're superior and ignore what's going down in lower levels with different people, maybe in the same job market or same space. And he says that maybe all of us should sit back and think a little bit and remember a couple of things. And I think these are very good points for all of us to remember, no matter where we are in the food chain, in the social media food chain, where we are in the podcast space. Things to remember is, number one, we're all bozos on this bus. And obviously, if you guys saw the mess up the start of this show, 500 and some shows under my belt, and I jacked the beginning of the show up completely. we're all bozos on this bus. Number two is a saying that I can't say on this show. I'll have to have you guys go and read it in the show notes. And number three, it's not like anyone gets out of this alive. And, you know, it goes back to a point that I realized in 2004, when I figured out that I was not immortal, when I got hurt, had my accident, spent 13 days in the hospital, and was really very fortunate to walk out of the hospital on my two feet instead of being rolled out. You know, it's true. It's not like anyone's going to get out of this life. So, you know, going back to what we do with our time, our energy is very, very important. So, don't waste time, and this is great. Don't waste time. This is what Dave's saying. Don't waste time on other people's qualities, intelligence, hypocrisy, honor, distractions. What matters is what you do. This is probably the best thing to come out of Dave's blog in a long, long time. So have this linked up in the show notes. He's back in rare form right now, doing some. He's had some good posts recently. And I can't remember linking to him as many times probably in a couple of years. Finally he'd got off that political bandwagon he was on, and he's back to talking tech and stuff right now. On broadband over at dslreports.com, this is a cautionary blog post talking about the basically what's going on with the FCC right now. You know, the FCC has been spending some time talking about how they may actually start using real data to make policy decisions instead of using hypotheticals, and basically requiring the internet service providers and mobile providers and so forth provide detailed data on coverage, bandwidth speeds, the whole nine yards. Actually, force them to give them the actual numbers instead of, you know, what they think they are. And in this article, he is saying that that Uncle Sam is already wimping out on data collection. It says that ISPs are fighting tooth and nail in court to avoid having released any raw data in the public to expose coverage gaps, network congestion, or even rural broadband throughput. ISPs are arguing that releasing this is proprietary data. And it goes on and on, talking about the battle afoot in Congress by the lobbyists, by these organizations, trade organizations, to really put the FCC back in a box and not to, you know, get valid input and to stop them from, you know, having valid data to use in their reporting. So over the next 180 days or so, they're taking comment on a variety of issues. And the consumers are going to have to step up here. We are the consumers. And if you are in the Washington, D.C. area, or you're in an area where they have one of the workshops that they're having on these specific issues when it comes to rural broadband, data rate issues, anything that's going on with basically how you're getting your internet service and what's available to you in your communities, if you're in any one of these areas where they're having one of these workshops where you can go in and make your comments, or if you are so inclined to actually write up a submission to send to the FCC, I think it's important that we all do this. Broadband.gov is going to be their plan, and what they're going to do is going to be unveiled in 188 days. And until that time, until we see what they're going to report, you know, all games are, you know, the games are on and the games are afoot as far as the lobbyists that are out there pushing back. So we have to really at this point try to support the FCC. And if, I can't believe I'm saying that, but we have to support the FCC to, you know, encourage them to go out there and collect as much information, real data as they can, to really find out what the state of broadband, the state of wireless, the state of all these mobile data applications, you know, all this stuff that's going to really affect our connectivity to the world, we need to be supporting them and being loud about it. As they say in this blog post, consumers are outspent, outgunned, and underrepresented in the discussion and are going to have to pay close attention if they want the nation's new broadband plan to work. So I'll let this – you guys go up there and read this. This is a good one to read tonight for you or today or whenever you listen to this. And there's some good points in this. This is a good write-up, and we need to support the FCC in their effort to really help us have better connectivity, better internet speeds, the whole nine yards. And they're going to be spending a lot of money, they're going to spend a lot of money in the stimulus package still, billions of dollars to inject into these private companies to build out, you know, more data services. So we have to be active in that. And I'll see if I can dig up some more information. Maybe I can come up with four or five steps that we can do as a community or as an audience to work towards that. Hey, Engadget's got a good Windows 7 review. It's kind of tongue-in-cheek because I'm looking at the background that they used on Windows 7, and it couldn't be any worse of a background. It just it's almost to me like they wrote this article up saying, hey, we like Windows 7, but what they've made the desktop look like is something I would never run, some cheesy templates. So I don't know what they were trying to do here, if they're trying to be funny or what, but they definitely use some kids, basically some kid backgrounds to portray Windows 7, which makes me wonder if, you know, again, if they're trying to put together some sort of subtle message that it's just a kid's operating system. I don't know. It's very interesting where they went with that. All right, Gizmodo has an article about Insider on the Apple tablet. And basically, one of the authors, contributors over at Gizmodo, had a discussion with someone very close to the inner circle at Apple, and was able to put his hands on one of these new devices that is forthcoming. And I think the thing I find the most interesting is that what they say is the device that he held was going to have a 10-inch screen, and when he looked at it, it looked just like a giant iPhone with a black back, although the design could change at any time, he said. With the same, it did have at that current time the black resin back and the familiar home button. And apparently, it's going to come in two editions, one with a webcam and one for educational use, which I said, It's going to cost between $700 and $900. And it looks like it's going to run kind of a hybrid of sorts. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens with this. But anyway, a little insider information on this tablet. You guys excited about this tablet or not? Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline +1-619-342-7365. Hey, we're on Google Reader at their official blog, googlereader.blogspot.com. There's a flurry of new features for the Google Reader. So I'll let you guys go and check that out. Basically, they're bringing all kinds of social media stuff in. They're allowing you to share articles that you'll like on Blogger, on Dig, Facebook, on MySpace, on Twitter. You know, that's all I don't need to do is send every link that I like that I share to Twitter. I think people would unsubscribe in droves. All right, this next article is gotten a lot of criticism. John Dvorak, who is co-host of No Agenda. Of course, he does that with Adam Curry over at Mevio. Dvorak, on his website, basically said, in no uncertain terms, that the U.S. CIO is possibly got some issues with educational, basically his what's listed on his bio and actually what he has for degrees and so forth. There might be some issues, along with a number of other things that he basically brought to the forefront. Now, I posted a blog post about this already. There's been widespread criticism saying that, yes, he does have a specific degree. Something may have been typed incorrectly in his bio. But when I was reading through everything that Dvorak had put on his website, the thing that I thought that was very odd was how thin, really, it looks like this guy's resume is. And he's the CIO, in other words, the U.S. CIO, and you would think this guy would have a lot of experience in tech, in the, you know, have tight links to the programming world. You know, there's all kinds of things you think this individual would have. And I really know very little about Kundra. And the only point that my eyeballs raised on was that he ran a company that I guess made like $67,000 one year. But beyond that, his credentials on where he worked is pretty thin. And I've kind of concluded that it looks like his appointment to this position was a little bit more on the political side than on the professional side, which really, as a techie, you would hope that you would have some superstar CIO in there that maybe had, you know, some years of experience working in the corporate world as a CIO. But this guy's relatively young, and he has political connections with some big donor that gave to the president's campaign. Now, Giga Ohm has come out in, really big time saying that Dvorak was highly inaccurate and it was essentially a lie in what he put on his website. But I think there's if you read both articles, and I have them both linked up in the show notes, it makes you really sit back and go, wow, did they really pick someone that was super qualified or not? And I'll leave that up to you all to decide. But to me, it looks like his resume is a little thin. Now, maybe it's not, but I'll let you guys give me feedback on that. Maybe someone closer to the East Coast that has, you know, some information that works within the, you know, that works in the tech industry and knows about him a little more. But very, very strong language by Dvorak. And I'm not going to pass judgment on what John said, but I'm going to I'm going to definitely keep an eye on this and see where this goes. But we'll see. Love to hear guys' feedback on this. All right. Information over on HotHardware.com. Panda Security is saying that their analysis of nearly 37,000 new viruses, worms, trojans, and other security threats that it received each day found 52% of them work for just 24 hours. After that time frame, they become inactive and harmless as they are replaced by other new variants that join the list of new specimens in circulation. He says that they say that there's about 19,000 internet threats each day that lasts more than 24 hours. That's 19,000 new internet threats. And Panalev says the reason so much of the malware becomes inert in such a short time is that to increase the chance that they will go unnoticed and can be spread through other means to other victims, the programmers change the programs a little bit each day to change their essentially their characteristics and re-release them. So it sounds like, you know, maybe there's how many are new or introduced every day, but there's the variants of the same virus trojans and so forth are put out. But still, that means you're, you know, if you're not updating your virus definitions every day, you stand a bigger chance of, you know, of catching something. And Mac users are not immune at this point either. So, of course, we haven't seen nothing major happen to Macs, not as compared to it anyways towards PCs. But over time, I think this will change. Apple, AT&T have been sued for lack of MMS capability. A class action lawsuit has been started in a Louisiana district court alleging that Apple and AT&T have touted the iPhone as supporting multimedia messaging service, but have not yet to provide the service. And there's a class action lawsuit basically saying, hey, you misrepresented this, and they're going to they're suing on behalf of 10,000 individuals. And the action is brought underneath both the Louisiana unfair trade practices and the Louisiana civil codes. I don't know if Louisiana is one of those states where it's real easy to get a class action lawsuit or not, but this will be curious to see where this one goes. All right, over on BillShrink.com, there's a pretty good link up here on work hours per week around the world. And I looked at the this is the average. And this was put together by the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, released their annual hours worked per worker in 2008, showing which countries have their nose to grindstone, which ones are more often found smelling the roses. USA, 35 hours per week. Mexico, 36. Canada, 33. Iceland, 33. Netherlands, 27. Norway, 27. Denmark 31, Poland 38, Czech Republic 38, Slovakia 35, Hungary 38, Australia 33, Italy 35. Who was the lowest on this list? Someone had 27 or something like that. Was that France? Yeah, France had 30. So who's only working 35 hours a week? Not I. I'm working like 120 hours a week. 35 hours per week? That's all the averages for the United States? I don't believe it. Not for a moment. I really, really don't. All right, if there's any article that you watch or you read today, you have got to go to this article that I have. It starts with a bang. It's an article over on scienceblogs.com. Watch the video. If it's any article that you read today, come over here and watch this video that they put together. It's by the Deep Space Project or something like that. This is wow. It talks about the Hubble Ultra Deep Field in 3D. Amazing. And it really, if it doesn't hurt your brain, then you need to watch it twice. Oh, gosh. All right, let me go ahead and move on here. I got to speed up. Hey, the ICON, ICAWN, the group that is basically in charge of all our, you know, our domains and the, you know, the .coms, .mes, .fms. By the way, I picked up some three-letter .fm domains for a few bucks over at GoDaddy a couple of days ago. Those were cool. As you all know, there's been domain tasting going on. And what domain tasting really is that there was used to be a rule. Basically, you could pick up a domain, and then you could turn it in, and after like 6 or 7 days, and not invoke a charge. You could get your money back. You register it. Oh, I want to turn it back in. You turn it back in. That's kind of what. That's not really the full technical spec. But about a year ago, they made a change to go into effect in June of 2008. There was 17,668 1,000 domains that were registered and then turned back in within 7 days. In July of 2008, after the ICANN had raised the, essentially they invoked a penalty. If a domain register turned in more than 10%, in other words, they returned more than 10% of their actual registrations, they got charged 20 cents a domain. Well, as of July, now there was 2,785,000 in July of 2008. In July of 2009, with the new rules in effect, there was only 58,218, because what they did in July of 2009, they increased the penalty to $6.75 a domain, the same price of a .org domain. So we went from 17 million domains being tasted every month to 58,000 in a month. Obviously, scammers were out there picking up domains, using them for a few days, turning them back in, and so forth. But what this is going to do, folks, is if you've been looking for domains, probably a lot easier to find them, especially ones that maybe kind of obscure that you haven't been able to get your hands on. It's good for us. It really is. All right, NASA's asteroid tracking program stalled due to lack of funds, and NASA has been tasked, of course, by Congress to keep track of asteroids that pose a threat to the Earth. And I guess they've made little progress on improving the sensitivity of its equipment due to lack of funding since 2005. No money, no confined asteroid. Wow. And it doesn't, I don't know how much money they were actually, their budget was, but they say government funding has been cut and they're making very little progress. You know, isn't this something that's kind of important? Don't you think? Don't you think that's probably money well spent? Or do you think it's a waste of time? Are we going to be able to do anything if one's coming this way besides worry? I think we are, but if we can't see it coming, we can't even try, right? All right, Real Networks has had a court loss. They have basically ruled that the Real Networks DDoS ripping software, hey, ran afoul of the DMCA. And it ran against the DVD Copy Control Association's licensing agreement, and they have been shut down. Now, not only did Real Networks take a hit, Microsoft took a hit. Microsoft has been ordered to stop selling Word. Yes, you heard me correctly. Yesterday, a judge issued an injunction that if it remains in force, would compel Microsoft to stop selling recent versions of its popular program Word in the next 60 days. They've been ordered to pay a patent holder in Canada called I4I $297 million, and it all is revolves around the many of you that have Windows 2000, Word 2007 know that you can save a file in a DOCX docx format. It's basically an XML format. So, you know, this is a little bit scary because there's a lot of stuff going out there in XML right now. But these XML elements that Word violated was enough to the judge to order this injunction. Now, I'm sure what's going to happen is probably Microsoft's going to pay this company off for a licensing fee or take it to a higher court battle. Word will not be stopped being sold under any circumstances. But 60 days, and they've got these folks under a gun. Over on at CNET.com, they're talking about reduced budget threatens manned space options. And boy, oh boy, the budget cuts to NASA. Folks, did you know that NASA is planning to deorbit the International Space Station in 2016? It's 2009. That's only 7 years. The thing's not even built, and they're planning on deorbiting it in 2016? I'm calling foul, 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 foul. That is no way. But now, honestly, is it going to happen? Probably not. But their budget, in order to support their new Ares rockets and all this stuff that they're building, they have to get rid of the International Space Station to support the new rocket program. Now, here's the question. You deorbit the International Space Station in 2016. Why do you need a heavy lift vehicle to go to the International Space Station? What's really going on here? I think, you know, it's a little bit of government gameplay, because they know the American public's not going to allow the International Space Station to be deorbited in 2016. They also know the American public is going to want this new rocket to be online and running in, you know, punching Americans back into space instead of riding up on the Russian, you know, Renner rocket. So what's going to happen is NASA's going to say, hey, Congress, either you give me more money or we're going to have to deorbit the International Space Station. I wonder how the partners, the space partners, are going to feel about that. Say that it's going to cost $1.5 billion to deorbit the International Space Station as well. Why would it cost $1.5 billion to deorbit it? You aim this thing for a place in the ocean. Oh, man. Probably it takes $1.5 billion to build the models. All right, bunch of security fixes. I had my Mac machine say, hey, I need to do a security update. Apple plugged some Safari browser flaws. It plugged a bunch of DNS issues. I guess there was like 18 or 19 patches that went in this last security update. So if you haven't upgraded your Macs, please do so. So that came out a couple of days ago. Hey, you know, you guys know I run on 4 or 5 hours sleep, right? Well, USA Today has an article that says 6 hours of sleep. It's not enough, except for 3% of the population has a special gene that allows people to get about 5.5 hours of sleep and still operate at a normal existence. I would like to get this test done. I'd like to have my DNA tested to see if I'm one of those 3%ers. I've operated on 5.5, 6 hours sleep really almost my entire life. And I probably could use a little more as I get older. But so far, so good. I can imagine sleeping 8 hours to me is like, that's like sleeping in. That's like a luxury. A little more space news. A new exoplanet orbits backwards. Well, astronomers have discovered the first planet that orbits in the opposite direction to the spin of its star. This is a weird one. This is over on the BBC. So I have this listed for you. Go Ben and read the full commentary on this. Hey, you guys that are Unix users, those of you that have some servers out there, a Linux null pointer is causing some major concern within the Unix community, saying that a large number of the Linux kernels that are running 2.4 and 2.6 kernels since about 2001 are affected by this issue, and the machines can be hacked pretty easy. So those of you that are Unix users, I'll have the link up to you in the show notes for that. And, you know, I'm almost tired of talking about the Associated Press, but these folks are imploding. You know, they announced today that they're going to be holding back some of their content from their wire service. In other words, they've got companies out there that are paying. News companies, your local radio stations, television stations, they all pay for the AP wire. So the AP puts this out, the news stations get their copy that they're going to use for the news stories, and that's what they run with. The AP is saying that they're going to withhold content from the wire service to their paying customers because they don't want that information to get out on the web and be online. Huh? Instead, they're going to make it behind some paid firewall or something. I just don't get it. They're locking up content. That's all they want to do. I don't understand. I really don't. I don't understand at all. If any of you can tell me what this insanity means, please let me know. But they continue to implode. They really do. Hey, for those of you that are new media creators out there, good interview by Callie Lewis. Of course, love Callie's show. She does geekbrief.tv. And I want to thank Callie for a couple of shout-outs she's made recently. She did an interview with J.D. Lassica. I like J.D. as well. He's a pretty strong advocate for new media. And she gives some good pointers for people that are creating media. 7 little tips, and I think you're going to see some of those tips we employ here at Geek News Central. Hey, geeknews@gmail.com, +1-619-342-7365 is the voicemail. We hope that you will... If you have comments about tonight's show and all the flub-ups I've made at the very beginning, you can have fun with me today. I probably will edit some of that out. But anyway, I've got one voicemail for you and a pile of email to get through. Let's go ahead and see if we can get this thing played out, and then we'll get into the voicemail if this machine so lets me.
Hey, Todd, I know I'm late for this, but I just wanted to wish you a happy 500th episode, and thank you for all the work you've been doing. You've gotten me through many late school nights studying and all that, and good to listen to and keep me somewhat informed while I can't be online. I haven't been online for a few days because I've been out on vacation, so I haven't had any internet access, but I just happened to listen to your 500 show, and good work and keep...
Oh, he got cut off. I don't know who it was. Thanks for calling. And yes, thank you for your comments on the 500th show. Hope you had a great vacation. I'm glad you're back to the real world to have connectivity. I need a little vacation, too. All right, before I get into the emails that have came in, and we're going to go along today, folks, so don't check your time on your media player. I want to remind you, time capsule entries, let me know what you think state of podcasting is going to be in 5 years. Okay, or whatever comes first, 5 years or 1,000th show, that's when we're going to open it up. We're going to put everyone's name in a hat and draw a winner. We're going to give them a Dymo Turbo Writer. It's a dual head printer. Pretty cool little device. I've got one here. I got a single head one that I use. I want to congratulate Joey Izaki for his winner of an iPod Touch. The Zune HD media player is out there for the taking. I want a new show intro. I want one that we're going to take us the next couple hundred shows that really going to have to knock my socks off. Work on it. I'm going to give you guys some time. We're going to run this for a while. But I will say this. When I find the entry that really rocks my world, I'm going to award it. Okay? So get busy. I'll give you a couple of weeks to really get into it. And anyone can participate. Anyway, Zune HD, that's what you're going to get if you become the person that creates the new Geek News Central podcast intro. All right, let's go ahead and get into the email. Got an email from Tom Newman. He says, hey, Todd, here's my – oh, this was the state of podcasting in 5 years. I can't read this, Tom, because that goes in the hat. Got an email from Jim. He said, hey, someone at Gizmodo woke up on the wrong side of the cubicle today. It says iTunes 9 will be a bloated social monster, and the real cost of upgrading to Mac OS 10 Snow Leopard. He says, hey, Jim, I hope you didn't get mad at me sending you this. No, absolutely not, Jim. You can send anything anytime. Matter of fact, you sent me a text the other day. I said, have you listened to the 500th show? You've got a prize that you haven't claimed yet, and I'm just waiting for you to catch up. Bree, thank you for your entry on the time capsule. It'll go in there. I got another email from Jim, says, hey, Phil Schiller throws out another email to calm the waters of dissent about the Apple App Store. This is a pretty good one. I have that link in the show notes. Got an email from Bree, say, hey, this ad for UK consumption is pretty interesting. Fiat has a USB drive to plug into your Fiat. It analyzes your driving. You plug it back into your laptop, and it gives you suggestions to save on fuel. It also says that you are the only one who sees the results. Well, Bree, I'm going to have to watch that because it must be encoded. You know, all these cars now, just remember this, folks. They all have these computers in them. They're registering everything you do. And if you get in a bad accident and you are being a little abusive or driving too fast, that data is starting to be pulled by insurance companies, and be aware of that out there now, okay? Because you basically have in-flight recorders in your vehicles, all right? Got an email from Bob. He says, hey, Todd, I didn't even know they allowed civilians on these, and this was a boomer sub. You guys know what a boomer is? It's a nuclear-powered sub that carries our country's nuclear arsenal. Talks about a U.S. Nebraska tour. Yep, Bob, they sure do. They give those. They basically declassify the ship. I guess that's the best way to say it. And bring tours on. And it's sometimes they have open tours and so forth at different bases. Usually around the 4th of July, they make stuff available. Sometimes it's through maybe you're part of the Navy League or something. But yeah, absolutely. They do have different tours on subs. Got an email from Jordan. He says, Toddism seems to be spreading to the listeners. Clinton from Houston said he enjoys your antidotes instead of antidotes. Well, you know what? Hey, it's great. It is contagious. I got an email from Thomas. He says, hey, Todd, I listened to all your podcasts now on my BlackBerry Storm. I like the Storm so much I sold my first-gen iPod Touch. Now I only have to carry one device. I use PodTrapper for downloading and listening to podcasts. It's not free, but well worth the $10. I've a PowerPress question for you. I'm doing the audio and video for my church. I need a way to keep the iTunes stats separate from the downloads and iTunes and the listens on the site. So I need a way to keep iTunes stats separate from the downloads and listens on the site. How I can do this? We already use Blueberry for podcasts. We break that out. We tell you what the iTunes downloads is and what the web stuff is. If you need some help on that, Tom, send me a private email. I'll show you basically the links, but that's in that data set in the stats. We break it out for you, podcatchers, browsers. Is that what you're looking for? Am I answering that correctly? Let me know for sure. Hey, got an email from Trucker Tom. He says, and this I'm going back here, folks, because we've had a bunch of email we haven't read in a while because of the last couple of shows. Rescue team removes 24 people stuck on Great America ride for 4 hours. And, of course, I think many of us saw this on the news where Great America had one of the roller coasters got stuck, and the folks hung there for a long time. But I can't imagine being just, you know, I think some of the folks were even upside down, and they were there for a long time, 6 or 7 hours, I think, is what how long it took them to get them off the ride. And it was near a very high point in the ride, and that's why it took so long. Got an email, another thing from Trucker Tom. He says, how predictive texting takes its tolls on a child's brain. And this is interesting. It's about a study that was done in the UK about text messaging and how it changes the way children's brain work. Those of you that have kids that text, you need to read this. You really, really do. This is kind of scary, actually. And I don't let my kids text. And the 13-year-old is driving her crazy. And thanks for Dermot for sending the well wishes to getting well from my cold go around. I appreciate that. I've got an email. Oh, actually got an email from Sten on his winning the actually we sent him cash, and he's in Denmark. Yeah, our listener in Denmark, he was we gave him a cash giveaway on show 500 in lieu of the printer because didn't want to ship it to Denmark. So congratulations on that. Got an email from Rick. He said, hey, Todd, congrats to show 500. I was listening to your show 500. Heard my name called out for the review I had forwarded to iTunes. At least you said that Rick H. won the 8 gift certificate. Thank you. I appreciate the $50 gift. But he said, I'd like to forward a suggestion if I may. And he basically what he's going to do is he is says that him and his wife have been very fortunate in their lives. And that he's very appreciative of the offer, but he is going to turn the $50 gift over to our needy listener that won. So we're going to add that to the cash amount that's going to go to our listener. We're also waiting for a check to come in from one of our listeners as well. And then I'll get the PayPal out to our needy family that won on show 500. But Rick, I want to thank you for your generosity and basically redistributing the wealth. It's my pleasure to roll that back into the kitty for the family that we supported during show 500. Got an email from Jeff. He said, hey, did I finish listening to show 500? Just recalled how long I've been listening to GNC. I've been a listener since before the launch of Blueberry, sometime before show 2000. That was July of 98. 2007, I think. July of 2007, I think, is when we launched Blueberry. As always, another great show. Keep up the good work for another 500 devoted listener, Jeff from Florida. Got an email from Keith. He says, hey, Todd, I'm long being with you. It's been quite a while. Congrats, just five show. I'm going to really enjoy your show. I've been in high tech for 40 years now. I believe that your show is worth listening to. Thanks so much for the good podcast. Thanks, Keith, for that. Also, he goes on to say, hey, when you were in the Navy flying P-3s, were you a pilot or the crew chief? Just wondering. What I was, Keith, was I was a back-end guy. And I run equipment. I guess that's the best way for me to describe my job. Was not a crew chief, was not a pilot. I sat in the back, and my official title was aviation electronics tech, but I did some cool stuff with some cool gear for many, many years. And look fondly upon that as it's in the rearview mirror. I got an email from Andrew. Hey, just another congratulations on show 500. And I know that, Andrew, you've been with us since the double digits. Appreciate that. And thanks for your well wishes to the family. Got an email from Tom in Nampa, Idaho. He says, hey, sorry I'm behind. Listen to show 499 today. I have to comment about the person that scolded you about there versus there. Well, don't worry, Tom. It's worth people to scold me once in a while. I know that you wanted to call them out, but it's okay. Don't worry about it. It's fine. Got an email from Frank. He said, hey, congrats on show 500. Ignore the critics. Don't change a thing. You asked about mobile phone apps. I have a T-Mobile Dash running Windows Mobile. These apps I find indispensable in addition to the Opera browser mobile and use every day, several times a day, are the Retco Explorer file management utility, which does everything for Windows Explorers, which does everything Windows Explorer should do but doesn't, Documents to Go, the Orchid Shortcut. And he says, I have bought five or six others also that I use from time to time. Most of them I found via hand angle. And I have links up to all these apps in the show notes. JR, thanks for your kind words on show 500, and also for letting me know that you're using PodTrapper to download the podcast on your BlackBerry. And again, Jeffrey, you know, I know that you were disappointed that you weren't one of the winners in the 500 giveaway. It was very, very difficult for me to pick who I was going to give the money to. I know your situation is unique, and hopefully we can do something in the future that we can include you on. But thanks for being part of the Ohana, being part of the family here as well. And I wish you the best. And if there's anything we can do, we'll definitely try to help you out for sure. Got an email from Chris. He says, hey, Todd, I find a chance to submit an iTunes review. Got that. That was actually read that on a previous show. Also got an email from Trucker Tom talking about coffee shops pulling the plug on laptop users. Basically, in New York, people are saying, hey, people are hanging out too long. So basically, they're basically shutting it down so people can't have access to power and trying to keep them limited amount of times they sit at tables. You can't blame the companies for doing that. Got an email from Chris. He said, hey, Todd, I'm not sure if you received my last mail about AT&T Customer and Apple Care. Anyway, I actually forgot to mention to you the last time. I also had something to say about iPhones exploding. Apple really should not play dumb about iPhones exploding. Although it is supposedly a very rare instance where a phone would explode or catch fire, Apple did know about the issue because as Apple Care, we were trained to follow certain procedures if that did occur. Just thought I'd mention that. Oh, so you worked at Apple Care. Also, wanted to mention that if you're having battery problems, your really only option is to get it serviced. Unfortunately, it will probably cost you. It's new. It shouldn't. It's under warranty. And a battery issue hasn't showed up again. I also want to – okay. That's it on that. So I think what we're going to do is if I missed your email from all the hoopla going on with show 500 and there was something that you wanted me to read on the show, just resend me another email. But we're really long tonight. As always, I want to thank everyone for hanging out here with me. And sorry for the mess up at the beginning of the show. What a mess. Feel free to send your comments to geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, the voicemail hotline at +1-619-342-7365, +1-619-342-7365, geeknews@gmail.com. Be back with you on Tuesday. And also, don't forget, I'm going to the Valley. I'll be in Silicon Valley. Okay, I fly out of Honolulu on the 23rd, get in the morning of the 24th, record the show the evening of the 24th, which will be early live. I'll be probably staying at the Hilton right there in San Jose on the 25th and 26th, deciding when to have a meetup. So if you are in striking distance of San Jose, let me know. We'll have a meetup. I fly back to Honolulu on the 27th. Probably have a late show on the 27th because I get in pretty late. So lots of meetings, lots to do, but I definitely want to hook up. I do have some open slots the morning of the 27th for any business appointments. So if you have a connection there in the Valley that would like to meet with me, love to talk to him on the morning of the 27th. All right, folks, we'll see you next Tuesday. Take care. Everyone have a great weekend and aloha.